in Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. The third verse says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. I think the Lord was very interested in our lives. And you look at these scriptures like this and talks about nature and things. Surely the Lord means for us to understand more than the fact that it rains when the clouds are full. Must be more to it than that. But you know, we rain when we're full too. There's a lesson there. If you want to be able to give out, you got to get in. And when you receive of the Lord and are full of the Lord, then you're in a place to be able to pour out of the Lord. So there's an instruction there in that. Lord's interested in our way of life. The Lord is interested in the way we live life. Really, if you get down to it, it's kind of what this is all about. We have the privilege the Lord allows all of us life, and what are we going to do with it? Well, where we end up at has to do with what we do with it. So the Lord's interested in our way of life, and that's why He instructs us about these things. If the clouds be full, they rain. They empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. There is no cleansing in death. There's no changing in death. You're not made better. Everything that is going to happen to our being is going to happen in time. It's going to happen while we're here. So there's another instruction here. The instruction is that it's, again, the way of life that the Lord's interested in, the way we live. Because you can't change anything after you live. Everything that you're going to be, you're going to be in this life. There's actually more to this scripture. It says, if it falls to the south or to the north, where it lays is where it'll be. It's a finality. There's no changing of it. But there is an allusion there a little bit more than that. It really is saying the way the tree leans in life, as it leans in life, it's not going to pull itself back. If a tree is leaning hard to the north, there's nothing to make it fall back to the south. So it's really happening in life. As the tree begins to lean, you can know the way it's going. I've got a big pine tree in the back corner of my yard that the roots are starting to give loose, and in real wet weather, it's starting to give, and it started giving a little bit, and as the time, I've been meaning to cut it, haven't, but I notice as the days go on, the tree leans heavier and heavier. It keeps leaning more and more, and it's got a real lean to it now. It's hooving the back part of it up, about the root wall. It's doing that. Nothing's going to cause that tree to go different than its leanings. It's going to take something to change that course. And the Lord's very interested in our course of life. Now, the Lord knows better than anyone that if you're leaning hard to something, that's the way you're going to be. If you don't take care of that lean in life, you'll not ever get it took care of. That's the way it's going to continue to go. Now, we have a brother up home. He was a timber cutter. And Beth, I remember this story that was told. He went to this. It was this timber cutting thing going on, and there was a tree that was really leaning hard. And someone, an instructor or something, said, if anyone can cut that tree back the other way, they'll win this brand new steel chainsaw. You can do it. And so he said, I can do it. I can do that. So he cut and wedged. and cutting wedged and wedged and wedged, and he worked, and he got the tree up, and he actually fell the tree hard. When it was leaning hard one way, nobody thought he could do it. He thought he could do it. Listen, the Lord can do it. No, there's been times that people live their whole lives leaning the wrong way. You know, it's not bad to lean, folks. in this analogy, it's not a bad thing to be leaning. When we've leaned hard towards the Lord, and your direction is when this tree falls, it's going to fall right with the Lord. I've given my whole life doing this. I give my whole heart to it. I put everything in it. Paul basically said, if you'll give me the liberty, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I leaned the right way. I've kept the faith. I've been leaning the right way. I've been searching and seeking and going after God. I've leaned the right way. And so when the tree falls, it's going to fall the right way. But folks, if it ain't leaning the right way, you're going to need the master. Timber cutter. You're going to need the master to be able to start pulling that thing back up, because he's interested in what happens in life, because he's not going to alter it in death. Once that the roots give loose on this and it hits the ground, there's nothing else to be done with it. So the Lord's really interested in, and we should be really interested in, the way we live. The way we live life. The way we think, the way we act, what we do. If there's any altering, it'll be altered here. If there's any changing that needs to be done, it has to be here. There's no other place to change. Over in Philippians, the fourth chapter, in the fifth verse, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. Again, the apostle is giving instructions on the way of life, the way we live. And the instruction here is to let your moderation. Now, within that term of moderation, there really was a lot of thoughts in that. It meant self-control. But it meant more than that. It meant self-control in all areas of your life. Let it be known to all men so that they can see your moderation. In other words, it wasn't a show thing. It wasn't a program or a performance. But it was a way of life that he was talking about. That everywhere, it was everywhere you go. The butcher, the baker, down to the post office. It's everywhere you go that he was talking about. Let every man, all men, see, your moderation meant that you're doing it everywhere you go. And all moderation means that you're moderate in what you wear. Well, of course, I think we could stay with that. There are some things that would be outlandish, beyond. We would want to be moderate in that. But you know, it's in everything. We're trying to suggest something. It's a way of life. We're trying to say that there's something better here. That's a control of things. We ought to control, Lord help us, what we eat, or as much as we eat. It's one of the things of our society today. I won't go too far on it. We all know. Be moderate. But let your moderation be known in dressing, in eating, in the pleasures of life. You know, there's pleasures in God's world. There's things that just, it's nice. It's pleasant. I get pleasant, a lot of pleasant moments out of the things of God. I like to go up to my cabin and build a fire up and get really cozy and watch the snowflakes fall outside. My sense of well-being goes up. I feel good about it. It's pleasurable. But you can't do that all the time. It wouldn't work all the time. It wouldn't be moderation to do it all the time. So don't do it all the time. Moderate it, he's saying. But why? Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. You know, there is a number of scriptures that teach us that we ought to be mindful of the Lord being at hand? And it is not only that we ought to be mindful of it, but that the very fact of it alters the way we live life. We live, well, let me give you an example. Someone told me recently, and Sister Purvis, she kind of got on to me for it. But in West Virginia, you can have about 12 points on your license, driver's license. You get about 12 points. You lose them 12 points, you got to go, you got to go deal with them if you're going to drive. And usually it's money, I think, on the first one, and you give them money and they'll give you so many back. And if you lose those, then you got to go to class and you got to pay more money. And if you lose that, then you set for a year, or your wife drives you to camp meeting. Now that'd be a little embarrassing, I admit. Well, I was going along one time, going to a meeting, and I got to talking. We got off the interstate and we was talking, interesting subject, and I was a talking and not paying attention, and I seen some blue lights coming. And basically what it meant was $120 and 5 points off my license. Well, I still got 7. It wasn't pleasant. I told the officer I was sorry and be blessed for the day, those kind of things, and thought I better watch. I did not do it on purpose. It was not malicious. I usually try to watch my speed. But he didn't seem to care that I felt that way. He just went ahead and done what he had to do. I told him we backed the police. I waited till he was done fining me so he didn't think I was trying to change the outcome there. But I told him we appreciate you guys out here doing this and have at it. Well, it wasn't too awful long after that I was going along and had my mind on something else. And I honestly did not see the sign that said that it dropped from 70 to 55 on a work zone. I didn't see a work zone, and I didn't see a sign. And there was no workers. There was nothing up there but a couple cones. And by the time I got up there, there was a police officer that, okay, pull over here, and I will take another $240 of your money and take another big bunch of your points. So the state of West Virginia sends me a thing and says, if you lose any more points, we want to warn you. If you lose any more points, you need to come talk to us. And that really, I did not know that I'd lost the points until that. I never really thought about it. But I want to tell you this, okay, in the spirit of this, I've been really good the last 2 years. See, I got all my points back in August, and now I'm driving on a free, you get them back after, I'm good. And you want to know why I did it? Plain and simple. It's not that I really care that much about what the speed limit is. I don't go around thinking about it. I don't go protesting to change it. It isn't a big thing of mine. I go because there's a real penalty if I don't. That's why I've been driving real good. Because there's a penalty if I don't. Okay? I love the Lord, but sometimes we go through life not thinking about things. And I want to tell you, this scripture says that there's a way you ought to behave. Live moderately. Keep yourself in the place because there's rules. And that the Lord's at hand. And you ought to live every day. Listen, I try to do this. I don't speed on purpose. That's an accident. I know in the Lord's world that's a different thing. But if you care enough about it, you'll do it. You'll pay attention. I wouldn't have thought before that I could have been that cautious. But there was enough money transactions there, and there was points transaction, and there was humility in the transaction there. And so, guess what? I had a better mind for it than I did before. And the Lord's interested in the way we live life. And so He gives us these kind of things. The Lord's at hand. What if you get caught where you're at tonight? In your soul. How are you leaning? What if it rolls up tonight for you? And you know, we hear preachers say that kind of stuff. It's really not to just scare you or do anything like that. It's the actual reality that happens in people's lives. But it's more than that. The instruction is, maybe it won't happen tonight to anybody here. Or tomorrow night. But that's really not the point. The point is that our trees are leaning somewhere all the time, and if we make it that way long enough, they're going to fall. And if they fall leaning in the wrong direction, there's no remedy for that. There's no changing for that. So live moderately before all men. Take a real assessment of your life. Am I pleasing to the Lord? Am I going the right direction? Is the Lord blessing me in my life? And instead of just saying, well, I'll take care of that thing later. If there's unforgiveness here tonight, guess what? That's a lien. The Lord said that if you don't forgive men their trespasses, I'm not going to forgive you. You think he's going to change if the tree falls? No. You're going to lose points. There's going to be a bad thing happen. There's an instruction to live every day, folks. Live every day like it's your last. Live every day like the Lord's going to come back. Watch and be ready. Be prayerful and watch and be ready. You may not believe he's going to come back tonight. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about living like that because you're leaning one way or the other. Lean hard towards the Lord. Let your life continue to lean. Lean harder and harder. Hopefully down on that deathbed experience, that old tree's leaned down. It's almost touching the ground. It's about to give it up. But boy, it leaned hard the right way. It's all that we give. The Lord won't forget those things. So Lord, help us today. Live moderately before all men because the Lord is nigh. Another scripture. Oh, let's see, Ecclesiastes. Another in Ecclesiastes 8. It says, because 11, 8 and 11 of Ecclesiastes, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do evil. Now, I think that's pretty common thing, pretty easy thing to understand. I believe that if every time that you exceeded the speed limit, that your car would shut off for a half hour, you wouldn't go over the speed limit. You just wouldn't do it. And if every night, no matter your age, because some of us already do, but no matter what your age is that extra slice of pizza would cramp you all night long. I mean, start as soon as you took the bite of it and hit down, you'd be up all night. You wouldn't eat the extra piece of pizza. Life isn't that way, and we know life isn't that way. And because it's not way, the scripture says, because the execution of the reward or the sentence against the evil work is not executed speedily. The Lord isn't sitting up there with a ruler like our old teacher used to and catch you, smack you on the fingers and you straightened up, or you started to whistle and somebody cracked you on the head or an instant. That's not what the Lord gives us patience in life. You know, the Lord's interested in the way we live life. What he wants to do is critique the way we live life and which way we lean in life and what we're doing in life. But he doesn't do this. And if we're not careful, we don't take into account what life's doing to us. And I've told this many times, but I like to raise fruit trees. I love to see fruit on trees. I like to plant things. And I got a real desire one time to plant these apple trees and stuff. So I went to buy them. And I don't know. I remember they were $15, $20 a piece or something. And that was a lot of money for me. And I thought about it. And I could imagine the big red apples and yellow apples and all this on the trees. And I looked at it and I read the little tag on it. It said 7 years to yield. 7 years. Soon as I read that, 7 years, it was over. No 7 years. I'm not, $20 and I have to wait 7 years. 7 years is so long ago. I mean, it's too far, too much. So I didn't buy the trees. That has been 37 years ago that I didn't plant the trees. I could have planted a lot of trees, orchards. I could have done a lot in 37 years, but I didn't see that far. Well, that's maybe on a positive, but it's that way on the negative too. If you smoked a cigarette and woke up the next day with emphysema, you wouldn't do it. Nobody would. Right? But it don't work that way. And a lot of things in life don't work that way. It works by a leaning. Leaning, leaning, leaning. Do you know if you mess with yourself long enough, it's harder and harder for the Lord to deal with you about your salvation? Do you know the Bible says that if you're often stiffen your neck, after you do that long enough, you harden your neck long enough, that it's hard for the Lord to do anything, and you'll be cut off suddenly and that without remedy? Because there's nothing you can do once you're so hardened like that. You know, you can put off God and the dealings of God and put off the sensitivities that you have in your life and put it off and get harder and harder until the Lord's dealing with you is barely but anything. And then what? Well, because this sentence isn't executed speedily, the numbing and stuff comes, and then what is it? It means a lifetime of leaning and not being able to be pulled back. So I want to encourage us today to set a pattern in our life of living for God. Live for God. I mean, live for God. I'm not trying to say be religious. I actually don't like religion, if I can say that. I don't like religion. Salvation's wonderful. The true religion is tops. But religion helps nobody. Just men's belief in things and things, it doesn't help anything. I'm not talking about the fact that there is a ritual of our services set up by the Lord. I mean, there's the Lord's Day. You worship the Lord the first day. That's all scriptural. But you know, because there's a pattern of that, that's not what we're really talking about. That's only one thing of our blessings of it. That's one thing that's meant for us to get something out of. Living for God is a hour-by-hour thing. It's a way of life, which is what the Lord's interested in. The Lord is interested in the reality of our lives, to where we reign because we're full. Because we love one another, because we're full. Because we are gentle and kind, because we're full. Because we do the right thing, not because we have to make ourselves to do it, but we do the right thing because it's what we want to do and what's there to do. A way of life. Lord, help us be able to have a way of life. And that we would remember the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. What's going to cause me to want to do that? The Lord's at hand. There's other influences, but I'll say this. What would you honestly tonight, this has been said over and over and over down through the years by the ministry. What would you do if you knew tonight's your last night? Is it okay? Are you worried about which way it's leaning? Maybe perhaps you're standing straight up and not been leaning one way or the other much. Well, but that question is, what about you? What about the life that you have and the life you're living? What would it be to actually say, I get till midnight? Almost eight. I get till midnight. That's it. Strike a midnight, I go out into eternity. What would you think then? Well, the scripture wants to tell us, live life like the stroke of every day, every midnight of every day could be your last one. Live that way about life. Then there won't be the regrets. There won't be the thing there. Live for God every day. It's the best way to live, but live for God. with that influence on you. Another scripture I want to look at is in third chapter of Second Peter. Third verse, I think I'll pick it up there. It says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, it's really a challenge to think the way I'm trying to tell you the scripture wants you to think. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to really wrap my mind around, or for me to even get to the place that I think that the Lord's coming back tonight or that I'm leaving tonight. It's hard for me to think about dying because I ain't never done it before. I don't do it regularly, and it's not a pattern that I do, and so I don't think about doing it. And you don't either, because you've never done it before, and it's never happened in your life yet, and you don't think it didn't happen last week or the week before or the years before, and it ain't happened, so it probably won't happen. But it's going to. Oh, it's going to. Lord help us. It's hard to think that way, and many have said, well, where's the promise of his coming? Have you heard anything over the years about him coming? Have you ever heard about the Lord coming back? Yeah, I've heard about the Lord coming back. The Lord's nigh. People die. Never happened to me. I can be numb about it. Remember, folks, the Lord's nigh. The Lord's at hand. Remember, your life's fleeting. Remember those things so that you can live the proper life that the Lord would have you to live. This scripture goes on. I'll read some of it. Whereby the world that then was being, fifth verse first. For this they were willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, again, the Lord's interested in the pattern of our life, the way of our life. In this passage, he's saying, seeing that this is all going to be dissolved, seeing that the Word of God has declared this, and it is as unchangeable as it can be, seeing this, the question then is what manner of persons ought ye to be then? Indifferent? Lethargic? Flippant? Non-caring? What manner of persons ought ye to be? Careful. Oh, what carefulness it wrought in thee. Oh, what zeal. What passion you have for this. What what change would it be if we all understood very well that within moments, within the short time, that this was all going to be dissolved? Well, that's what he said. Seeing this then, knowing this unchangeable word of God has declared this, what manner of persons ought you to be? How ought you pattern your life in all holy conversation, in all holy conversation? I think that includes talking, but it means life. The way you walk, what you do, what you put into your life, what you think. You ever have to deal with the Lord about your thinking process? That's where the battle's at with old Marty, right between his fingers. That's where it's all at. Got my pattern of my thinking wrong. You act on those patterns. You ought to walk in all holy conversation and godliness. What manner of persons ought you to be? It's a real concern. It's stating the way we ought to live life while it's well, while the tree's standing. Well, we can do something about it. Well, we can ask the Lord to help us with it. Well, we can get to that place before it all comes down to that. There's times in life that the tree may not fall, but the mind goes, the ability goes, the desire to change goes. Things can happen and the person still be alive and never have the capacity to be dealt with or worked with. And it's a serious thing. But seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, seeing that this is going to happen, seeing that the prophecies of the Lord, I believe, are coming true. I believe that our world is becoming more and more ungodly. I think sin's abounding. I think the whole thing is obviously going towards an end. Seems pretty obvious to me that we're headed, as one scripture said, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall, in that day, the imaginations of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. Well, I see some patterns and some things happening, and seeing that this shall be dissolved. It kind of make you want to do it right. Do you know what they do sometimes? They set a police car out by the highway. Ain't no police officer in it. Now, they've done a study on this. Do you know what happens when they do that? They studied it and watched it. People slow down, but that's not the good part of it. Do you know what happens if they leave it there a long time? People still slow down. Do you know if they put a picture of a police officer, a police car on a billboard and people see it, they slow down? I'm just trying to remind you tonight. The Lord's trying to remind you tonight about something. We need the reminder there. I've done it myself. Listen, one of the best feelings to me is when I see that police officer. You know, about always, I drive a lot, so I'm all, and listen, I could be going any speed. My wife will tell me, honey, you're going 90, I haven't been going 90 lately, but I mean, she said, well, honey, how fast are you going? I don't know, 85. I can do that, but it so feels so good to see that police officer sitting up there, and I look down, right on the button, right on the button. I can go by. No problem. No guilt. You know what happens if I'm not? Slow down and start reacting, slowing down and trying to act like you're going the right speed and feeling the way you feel and those kind of things. Hey, what manner of persons ought we to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, knowing that this is going to be dissolved. It'd be awful to be caught, wouldn't it? You ever think about it? You ever think about giving your life to the Lord, but coming down to the end and just being not really caring in that, and all of a sudden, that when it happens at the wrong time, and you're going to go as the tree falls. There shall it also lie. forever that way. If there's something in your life when you fall, there'll be something in your life forever. You ever think of that? If you don't get it right, it will forever be there. It doesn't apply once you go out of here. As it falls, so shall it forever be. That way, just that way. And then we'll stand before the Lord. And the Lord's going to look at that and say, what about this thing? You know, I studied that one time. The scripture says that you'll give an account of the deeds done to your body. You know, the word account, actually, if you study that out, actually means a verbal word. Now, I don't understand all the mysteries of those kind of things, but the way that scripture said was, is it sounds like that you're going to have to give a verbal word. You're going to have to literally say, tell. Well, I know the Lord knows everything, but that says you're going to have to give an account for the deeds done in the body. But thank the Lord that there is that master. That I'm going to tell you, there's the master tonight. He's made a way to take care of everything in life before you get to that place. There is one that no matter how hard you're leaning tonight, no matter where you went to in life tonight, it's still on this side. And there's one that's come that has got him, has rescued him just before they hit the ground. And put them back the other way. There's one that can change all those kind of things in our life. And I'm thank God that he's there to reverse that thing. And it's available tonight. And you can change that and the tree can start leaning the right way. There's another verse, one scripture I want to look at in Matthew. In the 42nd verse it says, watch therefore. Again, the instruction is in our lives, our way of our lives. And the instruction is watch. Watch, be alert. Be awake, wake up, the scripture said. Be alert to it. Pay attention. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. So be ready when he comes. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. But isn't it true? I said tonight, if we all knew the Lord was coming back or our life was going to end at midnight, that'd be something special to know. But that's not what it does. I wonder if it wasn't in the great heart of God to make it that way. We don't know. So when are you going to get ready if you don't know when it's supposed to be? There is another scripture, all familiar with it, to where 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom, remember? There were 5 wise and 5 foolish. The 5 wise prepared themselves, they done it totally. They done what they needed to do. They were wise enough to know. It was important enough to them. I gotta get it right. And they took care of it. There was 5 foolish ones. I don't know. It's hard to not think of that means something more than sinners out in the world, ain't it? But there was 5 foolish that had the same credentials that the other one did, except they weren't wise. But they didn't take the oil that they should have had. They didn't get ready for it. Had they known they would have run out, had they known what was that, they might have done it. But they didn't know. You don't know what disease, heart attack, wreck, calamity, aneurysm, or what might hit your life. Nobody does. Lord never let it be known. But he does say this, watch. Watch. Be ready. But we didn't know, we wouldn't have done it. Therefore, in 44th verse, it says, therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Well, Lord, help us tonight. There'll be an end of our lives one of these days. And I pray that we would take a serious thought about which way we lean and what we're putting into our lives. And Lord, bless us. You pray for me.